This is the science of deliberate creation. And this tape, entitled Parenting, Positive Parenting, is the seventh tape of a 10-tape album. And this album, Special Subjects Volume 2, was recorded by Abraham in 1991. Recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and the unauthorized duplication of this cassette is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and your purchase of these materials fulfills that intention. Plus, you also help us to afford the means to connect with other seekers, and Esther and I are most appreciative of your role in this joyous growth experience. For additional tapes, books, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Science of Deliberate Creation workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690-070, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abraham-hicks.com.
Good morning.
Good morning, Abraham.
We are pleased to interact with you upon this most important topic of parenting. You are calling it positive parenting.
Yes.
It is certainly an area that touches everyone. For everyone that you are knowing either has one or is one.
Right.
It is a subject that is very often brought up in gatherings as we are interacting, because it is a subject of relationship that is of rather volatile nature. Mm-hmm. There is a tremendous amount of negative emotion that surrounds this topic. And the reason that so much negative emotion surrounds the topic, from our view, is because so many of our physical friends have not yet come to their own true sense of who they are or to their own true sense of value. And so they are looking to others for that value. Mm-hmm. And as a sort of offshoot of that, they are looking to others to give the credit or the blame for whatever is their current stance in life experience. And so as a result, it has been our notice that parents very often are the target of blame of their children. And it is something that is continually perpetuated, because this parent is blamed by his children, and then his children become parents who are blamed by their children, and on it goes. And of course, you are understanding, and we are understanding, that any time that you are standing in a place of blame or resistance or resentment or justification, any time that you believe that you must explain to anyone why you are in the place of lack that you are in the place of lack, and your words are adding more fuel to the fire and intensifying your feeling of lack. Thus your point of attraction is more and more negative as you are offering more and more blame. And so in a very direct way, we are saying to all children, or to all beings who have parents, mm-hmm. or to anyone who is wanting to blame anyone else for anything, that standing in the mode of blaming is a very negative place to be. And so we would encourage you to stop it altogether. Now, as we look at it from broader perspective, we're wanting you to understand that any time that you are in that place of lack, you are negatively attracting, certainly. But we are wanting, for the purpose of this recording, to assist you in understanding the value of your relationships with those who have fostered you into the experience. In other words, what is the mm-hmm. value of your relationship with your parent? Mm-hmm. And we are wanting you to understand what is the value of your relationship as a parent to your children. We would like to give you a clearer perspective from our point of view of what all of these interrelationships are really about. Parenting, from the parent's point of view, has been drastically overrated. And by that we mean parents have been encouraged by society and by one another and by their own feeling of lack to take upon the responsibility for their children in a way that is so out of harmony with that which was intended by either of them as they merged into this physical experience, that that distortion is really what is at the root of most of the trouble. You as an individual are the attractor of your experience, and you cannot, no matter how much you want, create in the experience of another. It is simply not your work. A parent who is feeling lack of his own value or of his own accomplishment in experience very often then wants to assume the responsibility of helping his child have a better life experience. However, he could not be in a worse position to offer that sort of encouragement or advice because he is in a position of acknowledging his own lack. And so from his place of acknowledging his own lack, what he usually does from his place of lack is influence his child to a similar attraction of lack. And the child, very often in a mode of trying to compensate for what he is feeling and not really understanding, usually is not listening to that valuable offering, and which just causes more resentfulness. The point that we are wanting to make as clearly and as emphatically as we can is, you hold no responsibility for that which anyone else in this physical world, including your own children, chooses. Mm-hmm. The only responsibility that you have is unto yourself. However, you can be of tremendous, valuable influence to those who surround you, including your children, when you are in a place of positive emotion, when you are in a place of centeredness, when you are in a place of being that which you have come forth to be, which is a clear, positive example of the laws of the universe. You are an example, you are influencing, you are radiating, you are oozing, no matter what you are feeling or thinking or being or doing or having. You cannot turn your power of influence off. You are influencing at every point in time. But you can control whether the influence that you offer is of beneficial nature or of detrimental nature to those with whom you are in contact or to those with whom you share this dimension. And you know whether you are offering positive or negative influence by the way you are feeling. If you feel good, you are adding upliftment. If you feel bad, you are not. Many of you will bite your tongue, you will hold your words, you will suppress yourself from any outward offering. In other words, you won't say what you are thinking sometimes. But what we are wanting you to understand is that whether you speak it or not, you are still radiating it. And so if you are wanting to be of value to your children, get happy and stay there. Hold your thoughts upon aspects of yourself, upon aspects of your children, upon aspects of life in general that bring forth within you a feeling of well-being. As you focus upon the trials and tribulations of the world at large, or upon individual segments of the population, or upon a difficulty that you yourself are living, or upon a difficulty that your child is living, or upon anticipated trouble, that is what many parents do. Even though trouble isn't here, they worry about trouble coming later. Anytime you are focused upon the lack of what you are wanting, and as you are feeling negative emotion as a result of your choice of those thoughts, you are negatively influencing all. And those that are closest to you are usually your children, and they take the greatest negative benefit or lack of benefit. You have some specific things you are wanting to talk about?
Yes, I do. Actually, in essence, I think you've covered everything, but I would like to go into some basic, some details, actually.
Good.
From your perspective, what do you see as what I would call the primary or the natural role of a father in the progression of the lifetime of his child?
His role, and the role of the child's mother also, is one and the same, and that is providing an avenue, a physical vehicle, through which non-physical energy can express in this physical dimension.
You don't see different roles for the father and the mother?
Not different in any sense that is really important.
Okay.
The differences come when you begin thinking in terms of the influences that would be offered.
Okay.
But the influences that would be offered are not as important as your society believes that they are. In fact, the influences that are offered are more often not of advantage to the child than of advantage to the child. So much negative expectation has already come about in the minds and lives of the parents that very often they are the proponents of negative expectation rather than positive expectation.
Okay.
A perfect parent, from our perspective, would be one who provides an avenue of physical expression, in other words, creates the physical body. The non-physical energy is then focused through, mm-hmm. and this being is born here in the physical dimension. And then the perfect parent, from our perspective, from that point forward, would be one who sees this child as an individual who is growing and evolving and becoming. And that parent would be one who offers as deliberately and as often as possible an expression or an example of one who is gloriously involved in this delicious physical life experience. One who is sensing his real purpose for being here and is getting on with life and therefore is encouraging or influencing his child to find his purpose for being here and getting on with life. The general direction that most parents offer their children is one of, I have been here longer than you have been,
right.
and I am wiser as a result of my having been here before you, and I have learned all of these things that are detrimental, and therefore I offer you these warnings about life experience. And so a parent that fosters a child into a world filled with warnings is one who thwarts the positive expectation of the child. We know that the parents do it in a very well-meaning sense. They are really wanting to protect the child from these things that they have lived or that they have heard that others have lived. But in that negative offering, they are really planting those seeds.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to back up just a little bit into, say, before we were physically born this time. What are the relationships between the inner beings of the parents and the child?
That is a variable. In many cases, the non-physical beings, recognizing the value of working together, set forth very deliberate intent to come forth into physical experience and make very early contact. In other words, the day you are born, you are reconnected physically with an old friend from non-physical. In other cases, the connection is made much later in life. In other cases, no specific intention is meant. There are many more parent-child relationships that are not specifically intended than that are.
Hmm. Is there any value to give any conscious consideration to that feature of our experience?
There is value in looking for the positive aspect in whoever you are interacting with. And those that you feel the greatest resonation with are almost always those with whom you have very strong inner connection. There is not a great deal of value in perusing that which is non-physical from your physical perspective because it is not tangible enough for you to make any real sense of. And very often it is more of a distraction from that which you have intended as you have come forth here.
Mm-hmm.
Our encouragement is that you focus upon who you are and upon this time and space, giving more of your attention to your now, intending to look for the positive aspects of your now, and in that way law of attraction will be of greatest benefit to you. Certainly it is satisfying to feel strong resonating with another physical being, which is an indicator that you have worked together before. But to try to pin down the details of all of that is usually not of much benefit, more of a distraction than anything else.
Well, you speak in terms of a long-term, more or less general agreement. is, are there specific decisions made of something that's going to be done when we come together physically, or is it all just kind of general like that?
Again, that is a variable. In most cases, your intentions are of a general nature, because you are confident that as you come into this new dimension and chew upon the data of this time and place, that you will be able to then more clearly make your decisions. You see, the reason that there is confusion upon this subject is because, again, most physical beings feel inferior or inadequate, unworthy, as if they are here trying to prove themselves worthy of something more. And most really believe that the non-physical is more complete and older and wiser, and therefore in a position to give them more specific direction about this time and place.
Right.
Now, we agree that there is much guidance that can be offered, but what we are wanting you to grasp as we are talking about this concept is that you are here as physical beings, deliberately here to be creators. You have agreed to come forth into this specific dimension of time and place to chew upon the details of this workshop, so to speak, in order to take knowing beyond that which it has been before. Which means you, as the physical being that is here in this time and place, have more hands-on information than that which is non-physical. Non-physical is very good in terms of giving guidance from your broader point of view. In other words, letting you know or reminding you continually that you are an uplifter and that you are a seeker of freedom and growth and joy. But the specifics of your life experience are much more accurately offered by you, the physical being, than by your non-physical counterpart. And that is really the point of your physical experience. You, the physical, in combination with you, the non-physical inner being or counterpart, make a wonderful co-creation, you see. It is the best of both worlds. The fine-tuning that is provided by your physical sensory perception, and then the broader knowing that is provided from your inner awareness.
So then, are you saying that we have no different responsibility to from parent to child and child back to parent than we do to any other human on the planet?
We are saying that. We're saying that emphatically, that you have come forth into this physical experience as co-creator, and that everyone who is upon your planet at this point in time, you are in the process of co-creating with them.
And so just as the teacher learns from the student, as the student is learning from the teacher, when it's an open, growing relationship, then the parents are learning from the children just as the children are learning from the parents' experiences.
That is correct.
As they're unfolding.
That is correct. And many parents will tell you as much.
Yeah.
Others, from their position of lack or from their position of wanting control, and usually they are one and the same, would not agree to that.
But sometimes we're learning even though we're not realized that we're learning.
Every experience is giving you more knowledge,
whether
you are consciously aware of it or not.
I'd like you to comment on this. In other words, I've noticed that children, even though they're from the same set of parents, don't often grow up as carbon copies of one another. In other words, one child can grow up to be a very healthy, happy, or what I call successful being, while its brother or sister out of the same family can experience a very painful life as it moves along. And so, although parental influence, or what I call control, appears to have some bearing on the general outcome, it certainly doesn't have a predictable one as to the specific child or the specific outcome of how that child turns out. So, just as a cork, if it's held down under the water, no matter how deep it is, will take the most direct route back to the surface when it's released, won't a child in some way find its way to who or whatever it is, in its what you call its broadest sense, with or without a specific type of parenting?
That is the logical assumption.
But
it depends upon how pressing the influence, the physical influence is that touches the child. There are many variables upon this that you have just offered. In other words, if you are looking at this physical child as only a product of this physical environment.
Oh.
Then you must realize that he is being touched not only by his physical parents and his physical brothers and sisters, but he is being touched and therefore affected and therefore influenced. In other words, he is being stimulated to thought and therefore stimulated to attraction by many others. And so even a teacher or a fellow student or someone who for whatever reason has caught his attention could set him off in a different mode of attraction. You see, all thought attracts, and so if a child in his very early days is influenced to think in a specific direction by one specific influence, it is possible that his entire physical life experience could be affected by that influence. Now, we're wanting to get into the other area
okay.
that you have offered, which is the influence that his own inner being has upon his physical processing.
Kind of our core self.
We are understanding what you are getting at as you are talking about the cork always coming directly to the surface, because you are right in the sense that the inner being is many, 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 many times stronger than any of the physical influences. However, you have agreed, as you are focused in this physical body, to consciously attract to this physical body by virtue of what you are consciously thinking.
Right.
And so as you are born into this physical body, your conscious thoughts are more often affected by the other conscious physical thinkers around you than by your own inner resources. In other words, as you are consciously focused, that is a stronger influence. It's not more powerfully who you are, but it is through these physical senses a stronger influence. And you've intended it to be that way. You wanted to chew fully upon the data of this time and place. You really wanted the benefit of some other perspectives. And if you are not consciously influenced by other perspectives, then you don't have the benefit of this life experience providing other perspectives. Are you following us?
But isn't there a point at which this true self of whatever we are from at the time we're born doesn't seek out role models or something, even though no matter what influence is around, doesn't it?
Every step of the way, your inner being is wanting to point you toward that. In other words, if you look at yourself as two parts, we're really not wanting to fragment you in that way, but for the benefit of this understanding, it is beneficial. Your inner being, the inner you, the core you, the central you, is the culmination of all that you have lived through all of these lifetimes, and you are vibrating by your physical standards at a very positive place. The conscious physical thinking you is vibrating by virtue of whatever thought you are thinking in this conscious moment. As you are focusing upon something of an uplifting nature, you are watching a beautiful flower unfolding, or you are watching the antics of a very happy kitten or a baby, and you are focused upon that very clearly and consciously in this moment, you would find yourself filled with positive emotion. You would feel very joyful and very happy, which is your inner being's way of guiding you toward those sorts of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you were focused upon something that brought forth negative feelings within you, and we will not go into the details
right.
of what that might be, that negative feeling that you have is your inner being's guidance to let you know that you are diverting from who you really are. And so you are getting this clear communication from the very early, from the moment that you emerged into this physical experience. But what we were meaning as we were speaking just a few moments ago is that because of the pressing influence of that which surrounds you, most of you do not allow yourself to be guided by that positive or negative emotion. Most of you let the words and the influence and the action that is surrounding you become dominant rather early on. And so most of you suppress your guidance system and listen to the guidance that surrounds you. It is not until later when you are realizing that all of the guidance that has surrounded you is not leading you to where you are wanting to be, that you start searching deliberately for another way of going about it.
Well, let me move in a little different direction, but it's a form of influence. And like Mother used to say to me, she'd say, well, Jerry, you know, you take after me, or you take after Daddy, and so on, you know, you take after my father or your uncle and so on. And I consciously, usually silently, but I disagreed with her. And even today...
Why do you think that is?
I didn't feel that I necessarily took after anyone. And particularly, it was always negative things.
That is the point that we were...
it wasn't usually
in
a good
other
trait.
Words, and that is a case in point of what you were asking earlier. Your inner guidance was saying to you that these words that you are hearing are not in harmony with who you really are. In other words, as your mother was pointing out some flaw in you and liking it to some flaw in someone else, and then trying to tell you that is likely what was going to happen to you since you were upon that path, the reason that you felt negative emotion about it was because your guidance system, your inner being, was letting you know that this was not in harmony with your greater knowing.
But even today, I'll look in the mirror and see something, or I'll sense something or feel something, or see some part of my body, or hear thoughts come back through my mind again, and I'll have to remind myself that's coming back from my mother, let's say, or father, and I'll have to remind myself that I'm not my mother and I'm not my father, but I'm a unique, you know, I'm an individual moving through life.
It is not uncommon for you to, as you see physical characteristics that are similar, as you live in a physical world that demands physical evidence, almost everything that you believe, you will not believe until you have some sort of physical evidence. And there does not seem to be, at least it is not easy for many of you to see in the beginning, the physical evidence of your connection with your broader inner guidance. And so we can see how, as you see that physical characteristics are same or similar, that then you would begin to make a conscious connection to other areas of offering from same.
Well, what do you see? What part do the genes or inherited traits and so on play in our control of our current experience?
What specifically are you thinking about when you ask that question?
Inherited capability of mind, or capability of body, or abilities, or capability of health.
In terms of the physical, genetic.
Yeah, how does it affect our actual today? How much control does it have over me now?
Not any.
None.
Not one bit. Everything comes to you by virtue of your transfer of thought. Now, as your parent thinks,
well,
and you hear the thought and regurgitate the thought, then you become the attractor of the same thing. You see, everything comes by virtue of the law of attraction.
Uh-huh.
And the law of attraction functions by virtue of vibration. And vibration works within you because thoughts vibrate. And as you think, the combination of the thoughts that you think vibrate. That is what causes you to attract. Diseases are not passed on genetically or through heredity. Diseases are passed on through transference of thought or expectation. Only.
Mm-hmm.
Only that.
Mm-hmm. If I were born in today's society, having the life that I had in my childhood, with the current rules and regulations, I would be taken from my parents and be put into a foster home, or someone else would have been in charge of me. But as I grew up, I guess it was kind of accepted as that's the way we were all living, and so I never saw it, as particularly as I left it, as a negative thing. I saw it as an adventure. I saw it as a way of life. I saw it as excitement and variety, and so it was never something that I looked back and blamed my parents for how terrible I was treated. It was just the way we were all co-creating. In other words, I knew my part in it, and they knew their part in it, I'll assume. But today, we're in a different era, and it's a big issue now about abusive parents. In other words, people abusing their children. And there's such degrees that... Okay. Now, here's the point I wanted to cover with you. Some people, you know, it's obvious that they expose themselves to what you would consider abuse. In other words, beatings, like playing hockey or playing football or playing boxing or joining the military, etc., because they have other intentions, I would say, that override or overshadow that physical and or mental abuse that's often occurred. Don't some children, and say some parents in some manner, likewise expose themselves to being mistreated, or what someone would class as mistreated?
We're appreciating your analogy, because many would take issue and say those who are exposing themselves to the beating through the sports events, as you have defined them, have chosen that.
Right.
Where the child who is receiving abuse, it is difficult to see that the child is choosing that, because it is not something that is consciously spoken in terms of this is something that I want. But you are right. In every case, whatever it is you are receiving, you are, by virtue of the thoughts that you are holding and the vibration that you are offering, co-creator in the process. As you talk about your childhood and you acknowledge that through the eyes of those who are viewing and judging now and making decisions and who seem to have the power to make decisions in your life experience that you would have been taken from your parents, we say there is a very big problem in your society with all of that, because, again, all of the attention to what they think is going wrong is only inflaming and making more of it. In other words, more and more and more and more of that sort of problem is arising as a result of the negative focus to the problem. You have a war on poverty and a war on drugs and a war against AIDS and a war against cancer and all of these things that you are giving your attention to, well-meaning in many cases, wanting to make it better, but giving your attention to it, you are making it worse. And so today, your society is in much more dire straits than it was in the days that you were describing. Many more things are going wrong in terms of the way children are being treated today so much less attention was given to it in your time.
Right.
From your physical perspective, it is not easy for you to understand the purpose and value of your life experience. Most of you are so guarded, so much wanting to keep everyone in a place of having an easy or a perfect life. And as you look around and see this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong, almost all of you spend most of your time standing in a place where you are focused upon the lack of something you want. Therefore, almost all of you are attracting into your personal experiences things that you do not want. Therefore, almost all of you are ready to vote for some sort of solution. But you are voting for the solution from your place of lack. And what you are not understanding is that it is defiant of the laws of the universe to stand in a place of lack and move to something that is better. It cannot be done. You must focus upon the positive aspects of what you are living. And that was the benefit you had as a child. You did not have a social worker saying to you, you are being mistreated, things are going very wrong. And so as a result, your natural instinct was to look at the things in your life that were good. You
Right.
found yourself finding all sorts of adventure and all sorts of reasons to continue to see joy in your life. The children today have a harder time as they are socialized, as they are convinced that their parents are bad. We talk with adults who have been away from their parents for 20 and 30 years who are now using words that let us know that they are being coached to focus upon their mistreatment. Mm-hmm. They are delving into their past, digging up things that they can't even remember happened to them, and now, 20 or 30 years later, now wanting to put the blame someplace else.
Uh-huh.
And we say, that is so out of harmony with who you are that in every moment that you do it, you feel the negative emotion. And as you do it more and more, you keep tipping the scale, the balance within yourself to more negative and negative attraction. Thus, the decline of your society. It is the reason that more institutions are seemingly required. From our perspective, it would be a very wonderful thing if all of those institutions could be dissolved today, and that the individual could stand on his own feet and access his own life experience and assess his own life experience and where he stands. And it is our knowing that in the moment that all of those negative pointers were stopped, that more would begin feeling good about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And as they begin feeling good about who they are and where they stand, they would begin a more positive attraction. Look at your welfare system. It is not working. It is getting bigger. It is costing you more in every year, in every month, in every day. And those who are the recipients of it are not receiving it joyfully.
No.
They are not uplifted by it. Because what you are really saying to them is, we do this for you because you cannot do it for yourself. You are reinforcing lack within the individual when his reason for coming forth into this experience is to be and do and have. And all of these systems are just convincing him more and more that he is vulnerable and that he is not capable. And all of that is defiant of that which his inner being is wanting him to know. And so he's becoming more and more in the place of lack of what he is wanting with everything that you try to do for him, you see. As a parent, and you look at your child and you say, oh, it is a big bad world out there and I am afraid for you, and so watch out for this and watch out for this. And I will do this for you, and I will do this for you, because you are too little, or not smart enough, or not learned enough, or you haven't had enough experience to know what to do. With each of those sorts of statements, what you are saying to the child is, you are not enough, you cannot, you are inflaming, you are enforcing his feeling of lack within himself, perpetuating the lack, which is absolutely opposite of what he has come forth to experience.
Is agreeing with the child who says, I can't, in essence, adding to that?
Absolutely.
We only have a few minutes remaining on this tape, and I have about five different points I'd like you to at least touch on, because I think they're probably the thing that drew most people to this subject, this title. First is discipline. For the sake of some sense of orderliness, and for an experience of a harmonious flow of the execution of the physical details of life, like, you know, cleaning the family room and hauling out the trash and so on and so forth, how do you see discipline?
There are two motivations to action. One is a positive drawing from your clear picture of what you are wanting, and the other is a negative prodding from the negative consequences. And so as a parent, you can visualize an efficient, well-running home with everyone living happily together. And from that place, from that picture that you hold, you will be inspired to words and to action that will inspire it or evoke it from your children. Or, as a parent, you can look around at all of the things that are wrong. You can remember all of the things that went wrong as you were a child. And from your place of lack, you can lay down rules and guidelines and tell them what will happen if they don't participate. And you will evoke action from them, but from a negative place. From our perspective, the best relationship with anyone always comes from evoking from their positive wanting. And so we would say, speak about harmony from the day that the child is born. Let the child know that you are happy that you are there together participating, and what a wonderful life it will be together. And every day approach it from that aspect. What can we as a family accomplish in harmony that will enhance the experiences of one another? And when you take that approach, you find your children becoming very creative, actually looking for ways that they can be of benefit, rather than begrudging every little thing that they have to do because you have convinced them that if they don't do it, there is some negative repercussion. And so
assuming that we have a group, a family, whether it's just, you know, a parent and one child, or 14 or 15 all living in one family household of parents, grandparents, and children, so to speak, how would you suggest they come to a point of having what feels like respect for one another, that they have a form of harmony throughout the whole family, but in such a way that each individual will not feel a loss of their personal freedom? And so that's basically, I think, what everyone would like to understand. Does someone have to be in charge of all of it? Can everyone be free and make their own decisions and still live in harmony as one family unit?
As you are hearing this recording, we would encourage you to see yourself in your family unit, or in whatever relationship situation that you are wanting to imagine, and rather than worrying about what everyone else is doing, concentrate upon what you are doing. the difficulty in figuring something like this out is in trying to imagine from everybody's perspective how it should be. If you will approach life through your eyes only and utilize the guidance that is coming forth from within you, and if you will contour your thoughts and your words and your actions so that they harmonize with a feeling that feels good to you, then you yourself will be in harmony with yourself. And then and only then would you have any possibility of coming into harmony with anyone else. What most of you try to do is what we see as a sort of backwards approach. You try to align or harmonize your action, and action is really out there on the peripheral edge of everything. You say, well, there is no way for us to harmonize because I want to do this, mm-hmm. and the other one wants to do this, and the other one wants to do something still different, and we cannot find harmony in our doing. And we say, we agree. Very often you cannot come to a place of harmony on your doing. Many times you cannot even come to an agreement about what you're wanting to have. But always, always there is a place of harmony within you in terms of how you are wanting to feel. And so if you will come inward, very much as a gymnast on the balance beam. Mm-hmm. When he is out of balance, he does not try to somersault himself back into balance. He steps back and regains his balance before he proceeds forward. And the way that you regain your balance is by saying, I want to feel good. Mm-hmm. I want to think thoughts and speak words and do things that harmonize with that which feels good to me. And if you will draw inward to the point of being, how do I want to feel, and find your place of harmony, then you will realize that you have many more points of harmony with those others in your family than you have points of disharmony.
So in this family that we're discussing, is anyone in charge?
A better way of stating that would be, does anyone have the greater power of influence? The one who is oozing or radiating the most emotion is the one who is affecting the family the most dramatically.
In the moment.
And very often, the parent who is wanting to be in charge but is wanting to guide the family positively is so focused upon the lack of what he has wanted, maybe not even relative to the family. Maybe it is because he does not have as much money as he is wanting, or maybe someone at his work is not appreciating him in the way. And so he is just carrying on this chain of pain by now focusing upon lack. And so influencing, the one that is offering the greatest influence is always the one that has been focused upon a thought long enough that other thoughts are drawn to it, and so the vibration is very powerful. Whether you are vibrating very powerfully in your joy or whether you are vibrating very powerfully in your lack of joy, you are a greater influencer. My encouragement to you is that you stop worrying about what everybody else is doing and that you give your dominant attention to feeling good. Guide your thoughts and words and actions so that they harmonize with a feeling within you that feels good to you. And in doing so, you will be a more positive influence to that which is around you. You will be in a place of more positive attraction to that which comes to you. You will literally evoke more harmony from all who are around you. We've enjoyed very much this interaction.
Thank you.
There is great love here for you. We are complete.